Chapter 16 of the book of Acts. Today, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe. That's talking about Paul. And Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. So we're introduced to Timothy, a young man who was spiritually strong. He had a godly mother and grandmother who got him off on the right track, spiritually speaking. You will give your children a head start with Jesus when Jesus is the most important thing to you. Verse 2. Talking about Timothy, which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. So he had a godly reputation. He was a man of high moral character, which is why he's going to become a good spiritual leader. Verse 3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. Timothy would be preaching Jesus to unbelieving Jews, but they won't listen to him if they know that he is an uncircumcised son of a Greek. The Jewish law, including circumcision, is not necessary for salvation. But it's going to be necessary for Timothy in order to preach to those who think that it is important. And sometimes, in order to be useful to Christ, we must set aside some of our liberty in Christ so as not to offend anyone we tell about Jesus. 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. The apostle Paul told the Gentile Christians that salvation is by faith in Jesus, not by keeping the Jewish law. Now that is official biblical doctrine, and it cannot be changed. No one has a right to teach anything contrary to salvation by faith in Christ, plus nothing. Verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. The Jewish Christians had been pressing the Gentiles in Galatia to keep the Jewish laws for salvation. Those added man-made rules were causing all sorts of problems. They doubtless scared some potential converts to Christ away. Adding to the Word of God does that. But when the simple Word of God was taught, those who were hungry for truth were drawn by it to Christ. Verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now it may have seemed a bit strange, I would say, to be forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word of God in Asia. After all, Jesus commissioned his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every single creature. But the Great Commission doesn't mean that every Christian is called to go everywhere. There's a lot of good things that Christians can do, but the need doesn't necessarily justify the call. We can't do everything ourselves. We have to be led by the Holy Ghost. 7. After they were come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit permitted them not. And passing by to Mysia, they came down to Troas. Well, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let Paul go north or south. He came from the east. So the only place left was west. And that's the direction he started to go. God's will is sometimes discerned in the most natural way. Sometimes God's will is discovered by a process of elimination. Everything you try to do is a closed door except for one. And guess what? That's the one that God wants you to take. Verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and begged him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Macedonia is in Europe. God is telling Paul to go to Europe and preach Jesus. And you know, if Paul doesn't go west, then Western civilization, as we know it, doesn't exist. And America, as we have known it, doesn't exist. Because Western civilization is a product of Christianity. 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. Figured it out. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. The big four are about to enter Europe with the gospel, and along with saving souls from hell through Jesus Christ, plant the seeds of Western civilization. Those four men were good men of God, and they were on fire for Jesus. And it's going to take holiness and determination to get the church going in that very sinful area, Western Europe. That area many of our ancestors in America came from, steeped in paganism. 11, therefore, loosing, setting sail from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Philippi was a Roman colony, and its people were Roman citizens. They had Roman customs. They spoke Latin. And another Roman custom they followed was immorality. And so these four guys have their work cut out for them. Verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was accustomed to be made. And we sat down and spoke to the women which resorted there. The Jews in the Roman Empire often held their religious meetings as far away from the heathen as they possibly could. And that's what's going on here. These ladies are outside the city limits having a prayer meeting. And I don't know for sure, but this little prayer group may have been the reason God told Paul to take the gospel to Europe rather than China. Prayer makes a difference, you know. Prayer brings in God's blessings. And a lack of prayer makes those blessings go someplace else. 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. Lydia believed and applied the word of God that Paul taught. And it says that God opened her heart to do those things. Because of our sin nature, man's heart is naturally closed to the word of God. It takes the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, to open our hearts to truth. And that's what God did for Lydia. 15, and when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us, or she prevailed upon us. Lydia insisted that the apostles stay in her home. And it's only natural for Christians who are fed the word of God by someone to want to help that person who fed them the Word of God and to continue to learn from them. Verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, talking about fortune-telling, talking about the occult. And in case you don't know, fortune-telling and similar practices are forbidden by God. But it's a moneymaker today, as it was back then, with this girl and her owners. Verse 17. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show to us the way of salvation." And this is that demon-possessed girl. And she's saying these things. And everything she's saying is true. And someone says, "Wow, this is great. She's speaking well of the apostles. And she's speaking well of the message of Christ. This is great." No, it isn't great. It is Satan trying to pull a fast one. Now think this through a little bit. The Jews in that area were smart enough to know that this girl was under the control of demons. They knew that God had forbidden this sort of thing. And so this is Satan's attempt to turn those Jews in that area off to the message of Jesus. A demon-influenced girl saying that Jesus is the way to heaven would make the Jews skeptical of Christ. 18. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Paul put a stop to that. The apostle did not want any help from demons. So to shut her up, he cast the demon out. And that was it for that. You know, the last thing that Jesus wants is some immoral person claiming to speak for him. He doesn't need that kind of advertising. God doesn't need to be identified with those kind of people. That doesn't do him any favors. 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace to the rulers. You know, she was delivered from a demon and a sin that was destroying her soul and would have sent her to hell. But that doesn't seem to matter to the owners. They are angry because the demons are gone. And now she can't tell the future anymore. She's not making them any money. You see, these people, her owners and others, tolerated the Word of God until it hurt their income. And now they're angry. Boy, when the Word of God starts hitting somebody in the pocketbook, that's where a real test of faith comes. Let's look at verse 20. It says, "And they brought them," Paul and Silas, "to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city.'" In other words, Paul's a troublemaker. When a preacher proclaims the Word of God clearly, there will be those who will call him a hater and a troublemaker. And that's not just for back then, that's for today. You see, the Word of God confronts evil. The Word of God calls sin, sin. And it restrains sin. And sinners don't like it when that happens.